listening to this week's message here at The Cause Church. For more information, visit our website at thecausechurch.org.
I want to talk a little bit here about, and thanks for watching us online, and I want to talk about what we build on matters. And I think that what we build our lives on is our foundation, is basically what we're talking about this morning. Jesus talks a lot about that. And I think one of the things that we need to understand is that, and I do believe this, and you know, I'm 52 years old. I've grown up in this country. I've lived in this world. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I have lived. But I will say this to you, and I think that you need to hear me in this, so please. I want you to know that I do believe that very, very soon that Christians are going to be under major trial and tribulation in this nation. Now, that's not a woo moment where we celebrate, but I want you to understand, I'm not saying Jesus is coming back tomorrow. He may. The Bible says be ready at all times, so it's just, doesn't matter when. I just want to be ready. You guys with me? But I do believe this, that we live in a world right now, in a land, in this nation. In my 52 years, I've never seen Christians begin that pushing in on Christianity like I've seen it, especially over the last two and a half years. I'll tell you how crazy it is to me that just how we've fallen. I went to public school in the late 70s. Anybody want to say they're with me on that? I graduated in 87, so I'm not that old, but I went to elementary school. I went to an elementary school and was taught a Bible class in a public school one day a week. And it wasn't negotiable. It wasn't like I don't want my child to be taught that you had to go. And I went, I love, and so I want you to see and just understand, some of you that are younger, the DNA of where this name. I know some schools that pledged allegiance to the Christian flag, not Christian schools. And I want you to just understand that as you see, and here's the reason I want to share what we're talking about today is my foundation will determine how I'll stand in the future. With everything that's happening. Now this, I'm not trying to scare us. I'm not trying to make us think this. But the scriptures teach us this. It says to be ready at all times because Jesus will come back like a thief in the night. But he also paints a very clear picture in the scriptures throughout it of what it will be like in the last days. You know, men will be lovers of themselves and people will fall away farther and farther from God's word. And nation will rise against nation. There'll be famines. There'll be plagues. There'll be earthquakes. Church, I'm not saying, listen, Jesus may not come back for 50 years until I'm gone and in heaven, but I want you to understand that it's moving in a direction, whether he comes now or then, of tribulation and trials for Christians. And so what I want you, this is not about politics. This is not about anything like that. This is about Christians having a foundation so that we'll be able to stand. Because my foundation, let me just give you an example. Some of you don't know this about me, but just to share. Who would agree that everything that goes into us will help determine our foundation? It really will. When I was a child, I loved my parents. I love them. They're great parents, but in my family. But there's one thing that we were taught in my family, maybe unintentionally, but it was the four-letter word called fear. I was raised in church, thank God. And listen, it was non-negotiable. My dad is in heaven today with Jesus, but I never one time said, Dad, I'm not going to church today. If I didn't, it was non-negotiable. My dad would be like, you think you're not going to church today? Go get in the car. And so I would go, it wasn't even on the books. It wasn't, I never even went to my dad and said, hey, Dad, can I stay? No. But what happened I had great, great family. But what happens is there was this thing, fear. And fear was kind of the foundation somewhere mixed in with Christianity that we built our lives. It was what went into me all the time, this walk in fear. And now we fast forward to today and we look at it. So that I became that. That became my foundation for how I live my life and everything. And did I follow Christ? Well, I really didn't give. You're either saved or you're not. I wasn't a Christian until right before I got married. I'm not going to pull any punches. I wasn't living for Christ. I was in church and all that, but I wasn't. But what happened then is when I went through, it's a little commercial for Cleansing Stream. Cleansing Stream helped me get rid of that fear. as I walk through that process. It'll help us clean up in those areas, as God's word will. But what happened in that process is fear became involuntary, my foundation to which I live my life on. And I would say, well, I trust Jesus. I didn't. However, my default setting was automatically fear. Does that make sense? I don't know if anybody has anything like that in your life. I'm not saying you're a bad person if that happens. I'm just saying we're human. Things like that happen. And so what happens then is if fear is my foundation, and if it kept on breeding in my life, we live in a world now that is completely dialed up on fear like never before. Like never before. It's every angle it comes at you. Fear, fear, fear. And here's what it says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of self-control. But listen to this, of power. You guys hear that? Power. And this is what I'm trying to get at today with us, and I'm preaching to myself, that we will begin as we lay the proper foundation and then build up on that, we'll be a church of power. Because the Acts church was a church of power. Somebody should say amen. The Acts church, listen, 3,000 people get saved in one day. People are baptized in the Holy Spirit. People's lives are transformed. It's drawing a crowd because people come and be like, what is happening here? And it's not about smoke and mirrors or lights and all that stuff. And those things, I'm not saying those things are bad, but it's about, listen, I knew this guy last week and he's different now. What happened? He received and walked in and received Jesus as his Savior and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. So what I'm saying to you, if you're like me, if I build my life on fear or anything else that we could unintentionally or intentionally build our lives on, it is shaky. And I want to be a person, that in whatever comes my way, I stand for God. I thought there'd be more amens for that. I guess they were all at home. I just want to be a person that stands. So what this means, my foundation is not in myself or in the cost church or the government or my dreams, my hopes, my marriage, any feeling I have. My foundation has to be on one thing. And then everything else can be built on that because he will direct it. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 3:11, what it says. Paul's speaking. Anybody love Paul? He's so awesome. Okay, nobody likes Paul. Okay, it says that. Listen to this. It says, for no one. He's talking about workers and people in the ministry. I just want to say this to you guys. Do you understand that if you're a follower of Christ, you're in the full-time ministry? I'm going to say it one more time. You're in the full-time ministry. There's great teachers in this room. There's lawyers in this church. There's all people that, you know, people that are in sales, people that work are in retail. Do you understand that every situation, every place you go, that is your church to speak into? Those are the people that God has put in your path to speak life to. But listen to this. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. So my thought here is Jesus should be our foundation. He's saying you can do, and they're talking about in that, working through that, you can read through it through 11, talking about the judgment seat of Christ, when we'll be tested, our works will be to see if our works were from our heart and right motives. And some people will suffer loss, some people will suffer, receive rewards. But what we're talking about, all of us in this situation, we need to understand this from this point on, that Jesus should be our foundation. And the problem with it, let me just say this to you. If Jesus Christ is not my, I'll use me, is not my foundation for everything in my life, I will not stand when true tribulation and trials come. You can say, oh, you're a pastor. Listen, pastor is only a title. It's only a title. It's only from going to school. It has nothing to do with, am I a true Christian? I'm a Christian above everything else. When I get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to be like, where's Pastor Greg? Let's find him. No. So what's going to happen here is I can either be a pastor that Jesus is my foundation, or I can be a pastor that other things are my foundation. And so I want us to come to the place to understand, and I plead with you, and I say this with everything that's in me. We've got to decide today Is Jesus our foundation? Is he our foundation? Is he what I'm going to build everything else on? Look what it says in Matthew 7. Jesus is speaking here. I love this. You guys still with me? Listen to this. He says to anyone, everybody say anyone. Raise your hand if you're anyone. Okay, that's good. You guys know. We're all anyones. You're anyones. Listen what it says. Anyone who listens to my teaching, this is him talking, and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, firm foundation. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. Won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. Here's part one. Jesus says, anyone who hears my words, this is the complete package, listens and then does them, their life will be built on a solid foundation. Notice it goes on to say this, that when torrents and wind, the rain, all those things come, those things will come. Here in this situation, it's not talking about everyday problems that we might face. Although he promises to be with us through everything, and those problems are real problems. They're real problems in people's lives, in all of our lives. So I'm not talking down to them, but I'm taking it deeper here. He's talking about preparing the person for the future, for what can happen as a follower of Christ. So in verse 24 and 25, when it's talking there, it says, when the winds come, when the rains come, when all these things come at you, if you listen and follow, you'll stand. Here's the disconnect a lot of times. What this means to you, I feel like I know the Bible pretty well. I mean, I'm not a scholar or anything like that. I'd never attest, but I've been in the Word. I've read it. Here's the thing. By me knowing it does absolutely nothing for me unless I do it. You guys with me? Let's think about that case in point. The devil quoted scriptures to Jesus, but it did him no good because he didn't do it. So that means that I can stand here. What I'm saying, if Jesus isn't my foundation, I can stand here and preach to you guys for the next 20 years. And if I'm just only a hearer, it's doing me, I mean, I say it does no good. It does get in us because God's word is alive, but I have to take it to the next step and do it in order to be able to stand when the rain and the winds and the torrents come my direction. Listen, verse 25, let me read this to you guys. Go back to 25 there, Matthew 7, 25. Actually, 26. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, this is Jesus, is like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. He actually calls it foolish. We those of you that don't know, we lived at the beach for before we moved here. That was the last church I was at. And I would watch people build these amazing, elaborate sandcastles. I'm talking about all day long. I've seen these people, and like, they're just amazing. Actually, you'd say, I want to live in that. I've made that statement before. Not literally, but I want it supersized for me. But I mean, just what people walk by, and people pull out their cell phones and take pictures of it, and you're like, this is amazing with like channels of water running through. Here's something that I've noticed. I never did that. Heather would sometimes say, why don't you? My sandcastle would consist of a red bucket. You put sand in it, you make it, you put it upside down, you pull it up and stick a seagull feather in it and be like, look at that. That's your house, babe. But what would happen is I noticed that they forget the tide's coming in. And somewhere in the afternoon, and I got to be honest with you, I love this part. Because I love to see how much it could take. So I would just kind of be like, okay, one more wave, it's gone. You know, I'd go through this. It's gone. And then what you'd see is just a flat. It's just flat. There's not, like, it wasn't even there. That's what we're talking about with sand. I was in, before I became a full-time pastor, went back to school, I was in the building industry. I grew up in it. My father built 30, 40 houses as a child. He was a general contractor. Then I went into building sales. And so I would be on job sites of contractors for years and talking. You would not want me to build you a house now, but I could tell you how to build one, okay, if that makes sense. But I noticed that on job sites, I never saw anybody just framing up a house and just sitting it on 2x4s or 2x6s just flat on the ground. Because that would be foolish. It'd be crazy. And why? Because, well, the first storm, not even a major storm, just a little bit of wind or just a thunderstorm, that thing is gone. The 2x4s are going to pull apart. Something. Here's what Jesus is saying. He said, listen, you need a foundation underneath that will dictate how the rest of the house will become. And it'll hold everything together. And that's what he's trying to say. He's saying, he's speaking to disciples. He's saying, listen, let me be that holds everything together. Let me be your foundation that you can stand on. And in this room, there's people. I've heard people talk about how they've been persecuted at work and they've been made fun of because they've prayed or done different things. And those are situations when the wind's beating against you and your flesh might cry out, this is not worth it. I'm losing friends. I'm losing family. I could lose my job. But what Jesus says is, if you stand and you make me your foundation, when those things come, I'm telling you, don't run and hide then. You continue to stand on me as your foundation. And at the end of the storm, and the end of the storm will come at some point. Maybe another one comes right after it. But you will still be standing. You won't disappear and crash to the ground. And I can tell you that in my life, there's been things I've built the wrong things and I've crashed to the ground. I remember one time, just a funny illustration, but how we can do it. I can't even remember what it's called. Was it a Huffy bike? Is there a Huffy bike? Anybody with me? I know you'd be with me. Man, I had this thing and it was silver. My parents still have it in a barn covered up under all this stuff. It's gonna be sad when I have it. But listen, I had one of those bells on it that you'd push it and it would go ding, ding. I had signal lights on it. I almost wrecked every time I cut it on, though, because I was like, I had a nice seat. I had air conditioning. No, I'm just joking. I had all this junk on it. And I remember one day, I had it in the living room, and man, I was polishing that. We were going on this big bike ride with all these people in our church. I was like 6, and we were going to go on like a 13-mile bike ride that afternoon. And my agenda was to have the nicest bike there, and maybe I did. I don't know. But I remember that the day before, my dad came to me, and he said, son, it's going to rain all day tomorrow. That's just like a bullet through the heart. Because I look at my bike. Oh, I had a rearview mirror on it. You know, mounted on the side. I was ready. I was like, I built everything that week into this bike ride. And I'm like, and early I would be like, I hope nothing happens. It's got to be nice and sunny. We want to do this. I want to ride my bike. I want to go in this. And then Saturday morning we got up. It was a monsoon at my house. Did I go on a bike ride? No, I sat and looked at my bike in the living room. Yes, my bike was in the living room. I have no idea why, but it was there. And I did not get to do the bike ride. And that's just a little crazy illustration, though, to encourage us. I put everything in that week that was going to, it devastated me. And we could say, oh, I would never do that. But how often do we do that with other things? And we put so much hope into them, and that's because we're heading in the wrong direction. Jesus says this oftentimes. God says it all through the Bible. Put your hope and trust in me, and you watch what happens. Don't start building on anything else. Don't build your lives on anything else except Jesus Christ. Church, here's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ needs to be the center of everything we do. Amen. He needs to be the centerpiece of a church. A pastor's not the centerpiece of a church. Jesus Christ is in his death, in his resurrection from the dead. That's what saves. That's what changes lives. So listen, church, it's worth building our lives on. That's what he's trying to do. These things are coming. You know why this is so important? Jesus wants us to be able to stand. He said in scriptures, he said, in this world, he's talking to disciples, you will have troubles. But he said this, take heart. Nobody can say take heart better than Jesus, have more effect. You will overcome because I've overcome. Guys, let's go into the next, skip Matthew 7:28. Hearing about a foundation does no good until we build a foundation. I can hear about it. I can hear about Jesus. I can hear about his teachings. But until I actually do something about it, it doesn't. How many of you ever ordered something and you get it and there's too many parts and you were completely overwhelmed to put it together? How many of you allow that thing to sit month after month after month after month? It's still there. Why? Because you don't, it doesn't just happen. It's not going to put itself together. You have to actually build it. Follow the directions. And oftentimes I wonder if in the church, a lot of times we're people, myself included, that we wait on other things to do. It's just to build itself. When God says, I've given you instructions on how, and listen, I've given you instructions on how to build your life. All you need to do is just read it. And don't just read it, but then do it. And the reason we get so, a lot of Christians might get frustrated and walk away from the church or give up on Christianity is because we haven't put in the effort to build and trust God to build our lives. Because we live in a microwave environment today that everything has to happen right away or the fastest and the quickest. And listen, in Christianity, it's taking daily step by step and saying, God, I want you to build this in me today. What I've read, I want to apply it to my life. I want to apply this because I trust you as my foundation. Two thoughts really quick before I transition is Jesus is our foundation is stormproof. The storms will come. Listen, notice it doesn't say the storms won't come. They will come. That's why I love church so much because we're here for each other. We're here to encourage each other. And then all other foundations are not stormproof. They're not. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Listen to this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own. This is building a foundation, letting God build your life. Do not depend on your own understanding. I've not been in building materials for a long time, and I don't know the new techniques, but if you're in this church and you're a builder, and you're a current builder, if I came out to you tomorrow and started telling you you're doing this wrong, you'd say, how long have you been out of the building industry? I'd say 20 years. You'd say, how many houses have you actually built? I'd say, none. That builder in love would probably look at me and say, well, then I'm not going to take your wisdom on this because you've not done this. This is what this is like of me saying to God in my life, God, I know how to build this. I know how to do this. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make this work. So I'm going to slide this in here. You're the foundation, but then I'm going to slide this in here. I'm going to slide this in here. And God says, nope, I'm building. Let me build you. Let me build you. That's not what my word says here. So let's take this out and let's put in my word and you build on that. It's just the same situation that I would have no idea how to build it. Only God knows how to build our lives and it's found right here. And that's what he's trying to get us to understand. Don't depend on your own understanding. Just trust me. Just trust me. I think today there's somebody in this room that you've been playing with this and God's just saying to you, just trust me. Just trust me. Much like if you look down at your sweet little darling 2-year-old daughter that's throwing a fit on the floor and you'd say, listen, honey, trust me. And you just go, ugh. You want your children to trust you. That's what our Father wants us to do. Just trust him. Just trust him. And verse 6 says, seek his will in all you do. And he will show you which path to take. A lot of times we get on the wrong path because we're not seeking him. We're not allowing him to build this in our lives. So my thought here is stop entertaining other options to trust in for your foundation. We just need to stop it. But God, but this, he said, no, how many houses have you built? Yourself? Well, none. I'm letting you build. Well, then trust me. But God, this just feel, it just, I just want to be angry about this. I want to put some hope in this over here. Well, God, trust me. Trust me. Listen to this. I think it's a good illustration. Colossians 2, 6. I love this verse of 6 and 7. We're almost finished. It says, and now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord. Listen to that. Listen, church, I want you to know that's one of the biggest things any of us in this room can do. Amen. Accepted Jesus Christ, you call out, you're saved. He comes and lives inside you. The scriptures say the Holy Spirit comes inside and lives in our hearts. And to have every sin forgiven. And then here's what it says. It says, as Lord, though, this is the key thing. Lordship here means that he calls the shots, which means he decides how your house is built. He's saying, it goes back to default. Just trust me. So I have to put in this, what I've tried to build my house on and how I've tried to build my house versus what God says, I want to build your house, I want to build your life this way. So I have to fight that default setting to try to slip those pieces in myself and say, I'm going to put your word in here. Maybe it's like this isn't a commercial for Cleansing Stream, but I'm telling you, it's funny how we're preaching this today. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will kill people. I didn't say it's easy to forgive, but it will kill you. Not that God says, unless you forgive, I won't forgive. I'm talking about in this world, it will destroy you. So at times I might say, God, I want to keep this block right here of unforgiveness right here, just 5 or 6 right here. And God says, but God, Greg, I don't want you, trust me, I want you to take those blocks out. They're not a solid foundation or solid wall. And I say, but God, you that person wronged me. And God, yes, they did wrong you. But my word says to forgive and not hold on to it. You don't have to go be their best friend. Hang out with them. Let them do it to you again. But what it says is, just let me take these out and let's put forgiveness in here. And then let's watch that wall be strong. Let's watch that wall be strong. And I don't have to understand everything, but all I have to do is say, God, I trust you to build my life from the foundation up into what you want, because I want to be efficient in this world for you. And so you're my Lord. You call the shots. God, he's like the foreman on the job. Don't put that there. Even in situations, I've seen building, and some of you like know more about building than me, but I've, looking to buy houses over the years, I've seen people use duct tape and caulking for stuff. I've seen houses where they put caulking around windows in gaps like this to try to, I'm like, that's not the way you do that. Caulking, it's just, sometimes we try to do that. That's what it looks like to God. And he says, let me put me there. The things of God, and watch it change your life. But here's what it says, and I'm almost finished. It says, just as you have accepted Christ as Lord, you must continue to follow him. This is where it comes down to me. This is where everything doesn't just happen, or he wouldn't tell me this. He says, you continue to follow him. So what that means is, for me, I've accepted him as Lord. Now I'm going to continue to follow your lordship so that you're the foundation. Now I trust you to build my life. I trust you. I'm going to continue. Tomorrow, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do my best. Not to earn your love, not to earn your salvation. Salvation is only found through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? I can't earn a thing. I can't earn his love. You might be in this room today and you're a million miles from God. Well, he doesn't love me more than he loves you. You might leave here still not giving your heart to God. He still loves you the same as he loves me. It says you must continue to follow him. But listen to this, and I love this. Verse 7, and we're closing. Let your roots. Notice it says let. Let. If I say, let me come to your house today for dinner, that means you have to allow me to come. I'm not asking for an invite, okay. But you would have to say, Pastor Greg, would you please come to my house today for dinner? Yeah. If you didn't say, please, I wouldn't come, because you're not letting me. So here, I let my roots grow down into him, into God. Let them. And let your lives be built on him. So we're going deep. And we're going up. Listen what it says here. This is the goal. I think everybody in this room today and watching wants this next statement. Then your faith will grow strong. I think if you're in church today, with this church's attendance is dropping like crazy, or you're watching, I think that there's a desire in you for your faith to grow strong. We just get it. How does it happen? Let your roots go down, and let our lives be built on Jesus. What does that mean? That means this word right here. Every day I read it, I listen. I have a choice to make. Oh, okay, I've heard it. I've listened. Now I'm going to go lay another block. I'm going to go lay another block today on the foundation of Jesus. Here's the thing that's so amazing. This word fits together perfectly. You're never going to be building your life in this book in contractor's terms of 2x6s and drywall and all those things. And then God says, and put some duct tape here. We're the ones that put the duct tape there. I'm the one that puts the duct tape in the extra caulking. God said, don't do it that way. It will not stand. Do it my way. I know you don't feel like taking the extra time because duct tape fixes everything, right? But it takes a little extra time and to walk through this. But trust me, if you continue building in me, your life will stand when the storm comes. You won't be swayed by false teaching. What if Pastor Greg starts preaching false doctrine that there's another way into heaven? If your foundation is firm, you won't believe the lies I'm preaching. You with me? You won't believe it. You'll be like, no. I love him, but that's not the truth. That's not my foundation. And see, that's what happens if Jesus isn't the foundation. That's why there's people today, and half the Christian church today thinks there's other ways into heaven. If Jesus is your foundation, it changes everything. And you begin to build up on that. And that's the beauty of a church. Continue to build on Jesus as your foundation. I'll close with this. I just think it's so important for us to hear. I was reading, I do a lot of research. I don't do the research myself, but Barna, who does a lot of research for churches. And here's a finding this week. Listen to this, 6%. Everybody say 6%. 6%. Now listen, this is not 6% of the population of this country. This is 6% of Christians. 6%. So let me say it this way. That means, and I'm not saying anybody in this room is like this, but if there's 100 people in the room, 6 of you, on average, believe what I'm about to say. Do what I'm about to say. 6% of Christians hold a biblical worldview and live out the Bible daily in their lives. 6%. What does that mean? That means that 6 out of every 100, I know it can vary, but Barna Research, which is a very recognizable research company, 6%, not of the population, 6% of Christians hold a biblical worldview and believe God's word and live it out. Why is that? Because Jesus is not the foundation. Because everything flows from that. Everything flows from that. And I think we're a church, we become a church as a whole, or Christians, let's just say Christians, that we like to use a lot of duct tape, we like to use a lot of things that don't apply. And God's saying, just build on me, because the storms are coming, and I want you to be able to stand. And listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing, one of my favorite scriptures is love the Lord, Matthew 20, I think it's 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That separates legalism from relationship. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never, you say, I've never fallen in love with Jesus. I'm not saying that you need to walk around with goosebumps all the time and singing love songs to him. But I'm saying that you just develop an affection for Jesus because of what he did for you. And you'll only develop this by spending time in his presence. There's no other way. It's not to earn his love. It's not it's to go into his presence and say, Jesus, I'm told that you died for me and rose from the dead 3 days later. And I'm told that if I put my trust in you, that I will never be judged for my sin. I'm forgiven. It's like it's all gone. And then you've told me that you love me enough that you want me to talk to you every day, that you want to be involved in everything in my life, and you want to change me. You want to get rid of all my fear, all my shame, all my hurt, all these things. And Jesus, I believe that you can do that. And then it's opening up, and as he begins to do that, it changes our hearts toward him. But it only happens as we spend time in God's presence by his word. Listen, I'm telling you, and you guys know this, this world today will tell you to build your lives on other things. There's a huge assortment of things, to even foundations. Build your life on people, build your life on yourself, build your life on the government, are you kidding me? I'm gonna build my life on me. I'm gonna build my life on the government. I'm gonna build my life on this country. I love this country, but I love Jesus more. And I just want to encourage us today, church, and please stand. Your foundation matters. Your foundation matters. And maybe, and I'm going to ask the prayer team that's here to come up and stand, and we'll close out here. Maybe there's been some instances in your life. Maybe you're here today and you haven't even given Jesus your heart. You haven't said, Jesus, be my foundation. You're my basis. I'm going to build from the ground up on you. Maybe you have, and you've kind of like the prodigal son, you've kind of walked away. And today you feel God saying, come back and reestablish. Make a fresh commitment to me and let me be your foundation. Maybe you're here today and you're following Christ, but you look at your life right now and you look back and you say, man, I put some wrong building materials here. I've got some stuff here that I see it as I built, and those things are going to cause me to be weaker. They're going to cause me to be weaker, but today I want to say, God, I want you to pull these building materials out of my life. Get rid of the duct tape, get rid of the caulking, get rid of all these things, and you replace it with your word. And what that means is you might be here and you just want to come up, and maybe you need special prayer for healing. That's still option. You still have that opportunity. These people would love to pray. If they're both busy, I'll jump down and pray with you. We believe in healing. We believe God can do anything. Amen? Anything. But maybe you just want to spend some time with God today and say, God, I just want to come up in front of this church. I'm going to lay down some bad building materials. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's regret. Maybe we talk about this. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's a little sin you're playing with, and you're saying, God says, get this out of your building. I'm telling you, you make two steps to God, He makes 102 to you. He loves you so much. Let me pray, and I want to open the altar, and I'll come back in just a minute and close this out. But let's focus on this time and say, Jesus, how am I building my life? Speak to me today, and then respond accordingly. God, I thank you so much for your goodness.
This is Pastor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast this week at The Cause Church. If you have any questions, prayer requests, or testimonies that you would like to share, please contact us at thecausechurch.org, or you can call us anytime. Also, follow us on social media. On Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, you can find us at The Cause Church MD, MD as in Maryland. We also have 3 Sunday service times now. They are 8:30, 10, which is broadcast live on Facebook, YouTube, and thecausechurch.org, and also 11:30 each Sunday. All 3 are identical services. We would love for you to come out and bring your family. Thanks again for listening. We look forward to seeing you at The Cause Church.